Sports don't stop on the weekends.
Neither do we.
Let's do it.
It's time to take a look at sports, both locally and beyond.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
This is Time Out with Eric Slaughter.
He's on timeout.
Dynamite!
The latest on everything sports right here.
You play to win the game.
Time Out with Eric Slaughter starts now.
Get a T.O., baby! Get a timeout!
Now, here's Eric on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Are you ready? You gonna say it with me? Here we go. Hey, yo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome to Time Out with Eric Slaughter. On this Monday, the end of the long holiday weekend, Labor Day is only a few hours from being a wrap. We all hope that you have had just a terrific, fun, restful, enjoyable, good eats, good times, good everything Labor Day weekend. It's been great weather. So if you haven't had a good time, shame on you. There's no excuse. You could have went to a festival, a backyard barbecue, all kinds of things. There's been sporting events all through town. I mean, it's been two college football games. It's been WNBA. Shouts out to Atlanta Dream. Got another big win today over the Connecticut Sun. Proved their record. Now they're still first place in the Eastern Conference of WNBA, second place overall in all of WNBA. I'm so excited for them. This town is so behind them, and we're going to keep, you know, just pushing them and pubbing them, and hopefully we'll push them all the way to a WNBA championship. That'll be a really cool thing here in Atlanta if the Atlanta Dream can get to that. No, even if they just get to the WNBA Finals, that would be a first. You got to take small steps, yes. You can't go straight from making the playoffs last year and getting eliminated in the first round to maybe winning the championship. Let's see if they can get to the second round, get to the semifinals, and get to the WNBA Finals. That would be really, really cool. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Eric Slaughter moving from the producer side over to the host. And then there's a new producer in the chair, Dom Taroski, settles in. What's up with you, D? You got some sleep today. You had a chance to sleep in pretty much, and now you get to come and bring this thing in.
That's a myth. I didn't get any sleep last night.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you got going on at home.
Well, no,
I get a little bit.
Well, I had to work my other job this morning.
You know, no Labor Day off for you?
Nah. But also, I was out late because yesterday was actually my high school's 10-year class reunion.
10-year class reunion?
Yeah.
And you went?
Yes.
They had it on a Sunday night?
My class was being extra.
So
shout out, 2015, class of
2015. Where'd you go to high school?
Stevenson High School.
Stevenson, that's right. Yeah. I should know. We talk about that high school. They're undefeated.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
But we had two separate events. So they did like a pool party on Saturday. And then Sunday was like had like a lounge kind of rented out and stuff that we went to and all that. So it was pretty fun.
Nice, you know what's okay? So, man, Dom, you're so young. So the 10-year high school reunion. People come back. Everyone almost still looks the same.
Yeah.
No one's gone through the transitions yet. No one's started to, some people are starting to go gray. Some people go gray early.
Yeah.
Most people still keep their high school figure for those first 5 to 10 years. Wait till you get to the 15 and the 20. Okay.
Yeah, I'll say the 20 is going to be the interesting one.
That's when we know what happens at the 20-year high school reunion. Okay. First off, people have been married and divorced. Okay. People talk about, think about it, they've been out of high school 20 years. Now they have kids that are either in or about to graduate high school.
Exactly.
You know?
Not like little babies. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got kids that are walking the same hallways that maybe you walked at sometimes, okay? And then at that 20-year high school reunion, you'll start seeing some people and be like, hey, remember me? Like, no, who the heck are you? Because you don't look nothing like you did when we walked across stage 20 years ago.
There was a couple people, and I could still remember them, but there were a couple people I felt really bad about because I blanked on their names. Like, there were some people
I know. You're getting old. You forget. But are you saying you blanked on their age because you didn't recognize them?
No. I recognized most of them.
Well, I mean, when you get to that 21, okay, I've been to my 20. you'll see people that you are a completely different person now than you were in high school, you know. And the good thing about me and you, you know, we us light-skinned, handsome guys, we hold mm-hmm. our age well.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't look, other than the fact that I'm about quite a few pounds heavier, face-wise, I almost look exactly the same as I did, except mm-hmm. when I had this gray beard growing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got your full beard growing in. It's
yep.
all one color, all yep. all
good
dark.
Right now.
Yeah, you have about 5-6 more years than mm-hmm. that, brother.
I'm looking forward to the salt and pepper look, though.
Okay, now see, that's the deal. My barber talks to me all the time when I come in, and he's like, man, you ain't get no pepper. You got all salt.
Just all salt.
All salt. I got no pepper. I don't know what's up with that. So yeah, that's my guy, Dom. So congratulations, man. I hope you had a good time.
Thank
on
you.
Your.
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. Shout out to Stevenson High School, class of 15.
There you go. What? Okay, real quick. What was, if you had to describe your 4 years of high school, what was it like for you? What was your 4 years? Now, were you a studious guy? Were you a jock? Were you the class clown? Did you get any of the superlatives when you graduated?
I didn't get any major superlatives or anything like that. I was kind of well-rounded, so like I did a couple of sports. Obviously I ran track, ran cross country, and then I swam.
Swam,
yeah, I was on the swim team
in Decatur, Georgia. Stevenson High School, they had a swimming team. All right,
yeah, over there in Decatur, we were actually very good.
Okay.
We went to state my freshman year.
Mm-hmm. So much for that myth about certain types of people not swimming.
Exactly. But no, I actually had a really good time. I was relatively popular. I wasn't like super.
You wasn't voted Mr. Popular?
No, I wasn't doing that. But I knew a decent amount of people and all that, and I was pretty cool with everybody. So I was, for the most part, I had a good time. The only thing about me was that like I wasn't a super big party person.
Mm-hmm.
And like even like now I'm still not. Like I don't usually go out to a club or anything like that for real. So that was kind of the one thing that I guess I kind of missed out on throughout my high school phase. But outside of that, I had a good time.
Had a good time.
I enjoyed high school.
Then you left straight from Stevenson, went to downtown Atlanta, Georgia State. Now, did you go? Okay, I'm asking you a question. So I went to Morehouse. Most people, everybody knows that. Morehouse! Ooh, we took a butt whipping Saturday in our first game of the year. So I really can't talk much. You know, even though you try to act like your team was going to win Saturday night.
Well, listen, we all knew what I was doing was false hope. We all knew that it was...
You were trying to put it out
there. Yeah, you know, just putting it out there. Yeah, okay. See what happens.
Did you go to the main campus of Georgia State? Did you go to... Because there was a campus no more than 5 minutes from your house.
Yeah,
I
was
going
to say, they had a couple of different campuses.
The satellite campus, is it Panthersville? Or what's that campus over there called? But there's a campus in DeKalb.
Yes, there is one that's not far from me. But no, I went to the main campus.
The main campus,
so yeah, I was downtown. Yeah.
Gotcha, okay. All right, cool. Well, that was the recap of Dom's weekend. I've been here all weekend. We've both been here all weekend.
That the one time I wasn't here was for the high school.
That's why
reunion.
You haven't gotten any sleep.
Yes, honestly. Exactly.
Sometimes sleep can be sacrificed. I mean, I slept so hard last night because, and I give shouts out to Chris Thomas. I give shouts out to all our hosts.
Mm-hmm.
But I did back to back days of 4 hours, and I mean, there's only right now here at Sports Radio 929 The Game. I think Chris is the only host. Well, no, Dukes and Bell, but they are a team. Go 4 hours.
Yeah, you know, he's the only one that's solo.
Solo for 4 hours. It's a lot.
It is. It's
you know.
It
like
can
I
be
did
a
it for 2 days, and I was like, man, I'm tired. And then I got home. I tried to watch Notre Dame and Miami. I tried so hard, but by the third quarter, it was watching me.
Believing in Carson Beck now?
Well, this is the deal. Now, you know, you've been with me for 2 days, okay? I gave Carson Beck praise. I said 4 or 5 times yesterday, I was looking forward to see what Carson Beck does, okay? Yeah. And this is the deal. This is very much the deal. We all were happy Carson Beck was at Georgia for 2 years because this time last year, the Carson Beck hype train was moving full speed ahead, okay? Carson Beck is a really good quarterback. And I'm sitting there watching that game last night. I'm watching the first quarter, that first drive where he's completing passes, converting third downs. And you know what I thought to myself? The major difference between Carson Beck and Arch Manning, okay? And if anybody's out there, I've listened to all these people talk about, Arch Manning is not worth, you know, he's overhyped, he's overrated. No, he's not. Arch Manning is super duper talented. You know the major difference between Arch Manning and Carson Beck and what I saw last night? The mere fact that they put it up on the graphic, Carson Beck was starting his first game for the University of Miami, but he had almost 20, almost 30 starts in college football. Do you understand what that means? Okay? The man was starting like his 30th college football game, and it showed really, really early. Okay? You cannot beat experience. The man is an experienced. For 2 years, he was the starting quarterback at the University of Georgia, one of the premier programs in all of college football. That's why Miami welcomed him with open arms. You do not bring in a quarterback to take over the program when the quarterback who left was just the first pick in the NFL draft if you do not have supreme confidence in his abilities, okay? And that's the whole part. You don't think Arch Manning is going to be good? Give him five starts. Give him three starts. And I ain't talking about the mop-up duty he got to do backing up Quinn Ewers. I'm not talking about the spot start. I think he had like one spot start during his first 2 years. I'm talking about give him three starts as the full-time start at the University of Texas, and he's going to ball out. The man is very, very, very talented. One game does not make a season. One game, one loss does not ruin their year, okay? He's got his cupcake coming. If, then this is the whole deal, okay? This is the 1,000% whole deal. If the University of Texas and Ohio State would have played in game two instead of game one, you probably would have seen something totally different from both teams, okay? If Texas would have got to play San Jose State in game one, that's who they play this Saturday coming, and then play Ohio State in game two, how much different would that have made for both of them? Because Julian Slayton, the first-time starting quarterback for Ohio State, he didn't look all that great either, okay? Give both of them a start after having a game to get their confidence up, a start after having to get a chance to put up maybe 30, 40, 50 points on an inferior team like Penn State did and like Georgia did, you probably would have had a completely different game. And that's the bottom line. You cannot judge any, even Alabama. And we've been talking Alabama. Let me stop stealing Call's signature line, okay? If Alabama could have started their year against Southwest you-know-who university or Southwest who cares, they probably would have looked a little different at Florida State, okay? All these teams who don't play preseason, who just have practice, they get in that first real game. Sometimes it does not click from day one. What's the one common denominator, except for Clemson, the one common denominator for all those teams, including Notre Dame last night, they're all breaking in new quarterbacks, okay? Riley Leonard was gone from Notre Dame. Who was Alabama's quarterback last year? I don't even remember. But bottom line, he's
Jalen
gone.
Jalen Milroe.
Thank you. Jalen Milroe, gone, okay? Quinn Ewers, gone. All those teams were breaking in new quarterbacks. Why did Georgia Tech look so good? Because Haynes King is an incumbent starter. Haynes King knows the system. Gunnar Stockton, who had been at Georgia, who got to start the playoff game, has been there for a while. He was not a new, he wasn't a transfer. He waited his turn. It makes a whole difference. And then he didn't have to start his year against a top 10 ranked team. Okay? Thankfully for Gunnar Stockton, before he has to go play Tennessee in 3 weeks, he gets two games to build his confidence. He gets two games to get on the same page with his wide receivers and his tight ends and his O-line. That makes such a difference. Such a huge difference. Now, for as much as I don't want to see Texas be good, for much as I don't want to see Alabama be good, I'm not going to judge them from one game breaking in a new quarterback playing a top 10 team. You can't. That's irresponsible as a football fan, and that's irresponsible as me, a sports radio host. They are going to be better. They're going to bounce back. Guarantee you the Alabama team that played Florida State will not be the same team that shows up in Athens in 3 weeks. They're going to be better. And Georgia better be ready for them. And they will. They come into to Sanford Stadium. They come into Georgia's house. Georgia should be ready for them, and Georgia should be ready to answer the bell. Sports Radio 929 The Game, time out with Eric Slaughter on this Monday of Labor Day. final day. Back to work tomorrow for all our regulars. But we'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk some NFL here tonight on Sports Radio 929 The Game. At the top of the hour, at 7 o'clock, we will be going live to, I guess they're playing in Chapel Hill, wherever this Bill Belichick Bowl is going to take place. You're going to hear it live right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. The first ever college football game of the Bill Belichick North Carolina era. Yes, it's coming up here in 37 minutes, and I will be paying attention because I will be. I've never rooted for the Texas Christian Horned Frogs in my life, but I will be tonight. I might go buy me a purple. I got a purple sweatshirt, but it doesn't say TCU on it. But I might stop by Lids or Walp somewhere on the way home, see if I can find me a TCU hat. Go to a local sports bar and act like I'm the biggest TCU fan in the history of sports, because I want to see Bill Belichick suffer for what he's done to me, what he did to us in this town, suffer. You know, it's funny. I have a lot of Foot Falcon friends and fans, okay? And I was at the Super Bowl. I was in Houston, Texas. I sure was. I was a paid fan. I still look back at that receipt and my credit card bill for that trip to Houston and cry sometimes, because if they had won, if we had held on and won that Super Bowl, it would have been worth every penny. Every penny. And it was a pretty penny. It was. It sure was. But the fact that it went down the way it went down, it leaves a little bit of a sad taste, a little bit of a bad reflection. I still had a great time. I look back at my pictures, had a great time. I would do it again. Yes, I would. Okay? But when I talk to people about that event, some people have a hatred for Tom Brady, and some people, me, I have a hatred for Belichick. I don't take it out on Tom Brady, okay? Tom Brady's a quarterback. Tom Brady did what quarterbacks do. He did what he does. He's one of the greatest of all time. You gave him a chance to come back, he did it. I don't take it out on Tom Brady. I have one friend in particular in mind. She was once the Falcons fan of the year, okay? Yes, she drives a Falcons mobile, and in the back of her windshield, it says Falcons fan of – she was voted by Falcons Nation. I don't know how the vote goes down, but she was Falcons fan of the year. And being fan of the year, Dom, did you know this? So 32 people get invited – well, I'm sure a lot of people get invited, but as a fan of the year, you get to go to the Super Bowl, okay? Yes. Fan of the year.
I think I did remember seeing that.
Also, as the fan of the year, got to go to the draft and announce the draft pick. So this was maybe 4 years ago. I forget who her pick was. It was like the fifth round of the pick, but they brought him out. This is the Falcons fan of the year. Her name's Holly Thompson. Falcons fan of the year gets to announce the pick. She came out. She announced her draft pick. And she got to go to Super Bowl, okay? And she's also a member. Now, I bet you, how many people know about this, okay? Every year at the Hall of Fame, they actually bring fans to it, okay? There is a Pro Football Fan Hall of Fame, and she is a member of it. And you have to get voted in. It's insane, the process that you have to go through to become a part of the Professional Football Ultimate Fan Association that goes to the Hall of Fame every year. You have to get nominated. You got to be vetted. There's a whole process, okay? Now, when you're the Falcons fan of the year, you've been to the draft, you would think you're a shoo-in for the Pro Football Fans Hall of Fame. She wasn't, but she got in. And they go to the Hall of Fame every single year. That's part of the process. So, shouts out to her. She can't stand Tom Brady. I need to call her after the show. Be like, hey, who do you hate more, Belichick or Brady? I think I know the answer is Brady, because she thought Brady was just cocky and arrogant, which he was, but he deserved to be. You got 7 rings. This is why I've always defended Brady. Cocky, fine, okay. Brady was not a sure. Brady was not Arch Manning in college. He wasn't Peyton. He wasn't pick somebody who was what's the word of before? They were daunted the Golden Boy.
Oh yeah,
before
like they
had a chance to earn it.
Yeah,
that was not Tom Brady. Tom Brady came out and earned it as the 6th round draft pick, Everyone knows number 199 overall. I mean, there's a reason they made a documentary about the six people drafted before that man in his draft year. I think it was 2000, 2001, whatever it was. Okay? He was not anointed the next coming like we do for so many quarterbacks. Okay? If you want to go all the way back to John Elway and Dan Marino, or pick any quarterback that was drafted number one overall and that was anointed to be something great before they ever achieved it, Tom Brady didn't. That wasn't his route. Tom Brady had to go there. He had to earn the starting spot. He had to supplant a incumbent starter. Yes, Drew Bledsoe got hurt, but remember, Drew Bledsoe was once the first pick in the draft. Okay. And then he had to prove himself. Remember, those first two or three Super Bowls, even though he kind of led those drives, it was the defense that really anchored those Super Bowl teams. That's why Bill Belichick was announced the defensive guru. Okay? That was, what's my man that's on, Teddy Bruschi and Richard, the defensive tackle from Georgia. That was all those guys, that Vince Wilfork and all those guys. They were the real driving force behind those first couple Super Bowls. And then, of course, as Brady became on his way to being one of the greatest of all time, then it slowly became, oh, no, now let Brady be it. But those first two or three, yes, Brady. I think Brady won MVP because he led a fourth quarter comeback. But those defenses and Adam Vinatieri, where would Brady be without Adam Vinatieri? You feel me? Where would he be? But I don't hate on Tom Brady. I hate on Bill Belichick, though. Can't stand Bill Belichick. Don't want to see him have no success. Zero. Why I got you here, Dom? I got a hefty update today, and I just had to chuckle. I just had to chuckle. Of the 53 men on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster, now I'm sure they name a couple, is it just mandatory? Is it just mandatory that the quarterback has to be a captain?
I mean, I feel like for a lot of teams, that kind of is the case.
But in Pittsburgh, TJ Watt, I'm sure they named – how many captains did they name? Do you know?
Not off the top of my head. It's probably five or six.
But what was the headline today?
Oh, yeah.
That Pittsburgh Steelers have named Aaron Rodgers captain for 2025. The guy who made them wait felt like forever to say, yes, I'll come be a part of your team, is going to be your captain. If I was him, I would like, no, I don't need to be the captain. We know who the leader of this team is. Mm-hmm. He wears number, what's his number, 97?
TJ Watt is 90.
He's 90?
Cam Hayward is 97.
Okay. Both of them, there
both
you go.
Both of them, though.
Those are your two captains. It's not Aaron Rodgers. I just don't understand. I don't believe it. And to be honest with you, I don't think he's going to take you guys anywhere. I know you're going to sit here and be realistic, right? You're going to be realistic and know that the best years of Aaron Rodgers are behind him. And if you guys are going to make it to the playoffs, it will be because of your defense, not because of what number eight does for you offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting Aaron Rodgers to be an MVP this year.
Good, because he's not.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is, but I am expecting him to be better than what Russell Wilson was, especially the final 8 weeks of the season. That's really the main thing. And with Russ and Justin Fields playing the first, six games of the season?
But remind everybody, you were on Justin Fields' bandwagon, not Russell's.
Oh, yeah,
correct?
No. I was hard on the Justin Fields bandwagon. I thought we should have paid him this offseason. I don't think we I thought we should have kept him. We shouldn't have let him go to New York. But again, I think Aaron has enough. Like I said, he, and I've talked with Chris about this before too, because you know, I heard in the during Chris's show when you mentioned this to him, and how, you know, Aaron had, you know, 26 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, stuff like that. A lot of those came at the end of the year in games that didn't mean anything. So
when he finally started balling a little bit.
Yeah, when he finally started. Yeah, he finally started to play well when the games didn't matter.
Yeah, when they were way out of contention. Yes.
Yeah. So it's health, and it really is just a kind of, okay, you didn't like what was going on in New York. You seem to be happy with the coaching staff here. You have some weapons, not the greatest offensive output of talent, but
you talking about that in Pittsburgh now?
Yeah,
because they got Metcalf now, right?
I mean, yeah, but you trade out George Pickens, so you're kind of
that could have been
the
a great
situation.
1-2 punch.
Could
that,
have
that makes no sense to me. More that could have been a great 1-2 punch.
Pickens was rubbing a lot of people in the locker room.
He's a diva.
Yeah.
He's a diva. I know he's a University of Georgia alum.
Yeah.
He's a diva, and he's got a lot of diva's qualities.
That's one of the reporters up there who's really plugged in with the team, Jerry Dulac. He kind of mentioned that it wasn't just like a coaching staff thing. Like, it was actually like some of the guys and like some of the leaders in the locker room.
Like, get this guy out of here.
We're kind of like, all right, we're kind of tired of his antics. And like,
he Antonio Brown part two.
Right. And that's basically kind of what it seemed like. It seemed like some guys
in
the locker room.
We haven't brought up in a long time.
Yeah. Thankfully.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. It just seemed like some guys in the locker room maybe kind of voiced that, he doesn't really seem to be getting it.
Yeah. You know, it's just funny. He was there for the end of Antonio Brown's regime, right? They overlapped a couple years. You would think he would have learned from an idiot that Antonio Brown became to be what not to do. You know, because Antonio Brown should have been a stealer for life. Antonio Brown and that's another one. Think about it like this. For all the wide receivers that come out, first round picks, you know, expected to be all world, that wasn't Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was a sixth round pick out of a mid-major school, Central Michigan, who started as a special teams performer and worked his way to being either the first or considered one of the top two or three wide receivers in all of the NFL. And then he lost his entire mind. How do you do that? How do you work so hard to become the best in the league at your position when you were not anointed? Okay, that's what I don't get. He worked so hard. I mean, there was a time where all he did was return punts, and he was the best punt returner in the NFL. I still remember the hurdle, okay? He went from being the best punt returner in the NFL to being the best or arguably one of the top two or three wide receivers in the game and then lost his entire mind. Probably cut 3 or 4 years off the back end of his career.
Absolutely.
Because nobody wanted to put up with him. Ridiculous. Just dumb. Sometimes I feel bad for guys who make mistakes in their careers and have to, you know, like the Henry Ruggs in the world. You were out there driving and you made a bad mistake. I feel a little bad for you. But when guys lose their mind, like Antonio Brown did, just to act a fool and just have teams say, look, I don't care how talented you are. We don't want you as a cancer. I don't feel bad for him at all. I don't feel bad. And especially when a guy like Brady went to bat for him and he still just couldn't get it right. Just couldn't get it right. So we'll see. I don't think Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers are going to be much this year. I really don't, especially because they play in the North and we all know the Ravens are going to win that division anyway. Ravens and Falcons in the Super Bowl. I'll wear a Ravens hat and a Falcons jersey and I'll go to wherever the Super Bowl is this year. That's my fantasy. I can't get the Orioles and the Braves because neither one of them lived up to their preseason speculations, and I hope I didn't just see what I did. I did see what I saw. All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. I got one more segment to go, and then we'll turn it over to the Belichick Bowl. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Timeout with Eric Slaughter, and we'll be right back in 5 minutes. Well, the Braves bullpen does it again. And when I say they do it again, I'm not being positive. Spencer Strider was on the bump, starting pitcher. Halfway decent game. He was really good through four innings, then the fifth inning, it kind of fell apart. But he exited after five with a 6-3 lead. Well, we're in the ninth now, and the Braves bullpen has blown that three-run lead. We're currently 6-6. Acuna's at bat. We'll see if he's got any heroics in him, but I mean, the month is – it says September on the calendar, right? September 1st? I mean, why would we expect anything to change now? This has been the whole year for the Braves. The bullpen has been terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And how many times have we seen a lead after the seventh or eighth inning just poof, disappear like a cloud of smoke? It's gone. It's done. And we don't need these Braves to go into extra innings because we don't do very well in extra innings. So a 6-6 in the ninth. We'll see how it goes. Dansby Swanson just made a pretty good play and robbed Acuna of a base hit. So, oh, well. I was so cool to see this. So on my one TV, I have the Braves. And on the other TV, I have the U.S. Open. Venus Williams, all 40-plus years of Venus Williams, has just advanced in the doubles. I think they're headed to either quarters or the semifinals. But how cool is that for Venus, having a little tennis success late in her career? I mean, Venus Williams probably, you know, will go down as a Women's Tennis Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time. She's not what her sister was, but still one of the best ever. But still out there, well into her 40s, playing doubles and advancing in the U.S. Open. Congratulations to her. ESPN is showing the teams as they are arriving to the stadium there in, I'm pretty sure it's in Chapel Hill. Yeah, it's definitely in Chapel Hill because all the kids are decked out in their Tar Heel blue. Wearing a, you know, these kids got Belichick written in their chest, the Bill Belichick era. Is Bill Belichick good for college football? I mean, win or lose, the drama, the soap opera that is Bill Belichick, is that good for college football? There's a lot of people that just think it's a good story. It's okay, great. We'll see. If he does literally turn the North Carolina Tar Heels into a winning team in 1 year, I'll tip my hat to him. I don't think he will. I really don't. But we'll see. If that defense, think about it. I mean, Matt Patricia learned everything he knows from Bill Belichick. And Matt Patricia showed what a good defensive game plan can do to the number one team in the country. You're not going to doubt that Bill Belichick has a good defensive game plan coming into this game. Now, I don't know much about Texas Christian this year, but what I do know is that in the history, in the past, offensively, they've been a juggernaut. They do know how to score some points down there in Fort Worth, Texas, at Texas Christian. There's no doubt about that. Sonny Dykes is the head coach there, I believe that's his name. He knows how to coach offense. Okay, so if they have some offensive firepower, they'll try to display it tonight. So we'll see what kind of game plan the hoodie has come together for the University of North Carolina. The big deal is this. I cannot wait until tomorrow. The new rankings will come out right at about noontime. That's when they usually release them. And we'll get all the, you know, if you got notifications on your phone, they will come in. I cannot wait to see who's new number 1, 2, and 3. You know, 4, count them. 4 of the top 10 teams in the country have gone down. 4 of them. That is unprecedented. Actually, I think they said this is only the second time in history of the AP poll that in week number 1, 4 of the teams went down. What can you do? I'm really looking to see how far some of these teams fall. Now, most of them have cupcake games next week. Texas has got to fall out of the top 5. Alabama, who was number 8, they're probably out of the top 10. Notre Dame, probably still maybe right around 10. Clemson probably will fall to 7. The good thing for Texas and Clemson is that 2 of the teams ranked below them also lost. So 1, 2, and 3 will be Ohio State, Georgia, Penn State. What order they will be, we will be waiting to see. I will bet you this. I'm pretty sure of this. The coaches poll and the Associated Press poll will be different. Whether they have different number 1s or number 2s, not sure. But there will be a difference in the coach, especially as you get down to 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. The coaches poll and the Associated Press poll will definitely be different. That will be something that you should pay attention to, because the coaches poll, usually, in my opinion, is a more true definition of what the teams are, because the coaches know a little more than some of the writers. The coaches look at it and vote at it a little different. So I'll be interested to see how that goes tomorrow, whether the coaches poll and the Associated Press poll are vastly different. Could they have different number ones? Because when you look at those ESPN tickers and stuff like that, that's the AP poll. That's the poll from the writers and the analysts. That's not the coaches poll. But if you go online, you can look at the difference between the coaches poll and the writers' poll, the Associated Press poll. So I'll be very interested to see what that is. But I also want to see how many, if any, votes Georgia Tech gets. How close is it, or do they break in the top 25 after that week one win? Now, it was not against a ranked opponent, so that's going to hurt them a little bit. But they should get at least in that honorable mention, that section underneath the poll where they say guys who teams that received votes, Tech need to get some respect, okay? They should win next week against Gardner Webb, and then they'll get their chance. Georgia Tech will get their chance to make their statement on September 13th in their house versus Clemson. Clemson's going to fall. They're not going to fall out of the top 10 or 15. I doubt they fall out of top 10. I really do. You were number four. You lost to a top 10 team. Okay? LSU's probably going to be number five at the worst come tomorrow afternoon. Clemson's not going to fall past 7, 8, or 9. They'll be that when they come to Georgia Tech in 2 weeks. Georgia Tech will get their chance to show the country if they are for real. If they do win against Clemson, Chris Thomas and I looked at their schedule. It gets a whole lot easier. Now, they got a couple games that you'll say, maybe. But Georgia Tech, after Clemson, really has a chance to be a deep favorite in all their games. So their biggest contest, their most important moment, comes in 2 weeks. And I do think Brent Key will have them ready to go. Georgia, you'll be a top three team, could be number two. You might get some number one votes. You got an easy game next week. You should beat Austin Peay. Your reserve should be in by the third quarter. Halfway through middle third quarter, they should be in. And you go get yourself ready to go to Knoxville in 2 weeks. Can't wait for those 2 weeks to go. Lastly, and I guess I didn't realize this. So the traditional part of the NFL schedule, all NFL teams take Tuesday off. Dom, did you know that? Tuesday is the regular day off for the NFL.
Okay,
you know, some people think it makes sense. It doesn't. So they come together, especially if they play on Sunday. They come together Monday. It's kind of like the day to review the tape. Yeah. Guys who are injured go to get treatment. They have meetings. They don't really practice, but they do come together. And then Tuesday is their day off. It's also payday. Payday in the NFL is every week on Tuesday. How does that feel? Could you imagine? It's like winning the lottery, you know?
Yep.
Did you?
Every week.
Mega Millions, or what is it, Powerball? $1.1 billion? $1.1 billion. Okay? That's what it's like to be an NFL player every Tuesday during the regular season. You wake up on Tuesday morning, and that direct deposit comes in, and it's got more zeros than the average person will ever see in their life. That's just one paycheck per week. I mean, Patrick Mahomes making $50 million this year, right? Something, isn't like his average salary?
Something like that.
Okay. You divide that by 17, he gets that every Tuesday, and that's their day off. I mean, could you imagine being a jewelry or car salesman in some cities every Tuesday when an NFL player has the day off and they got paid that morning? I mean, some car dealers, they be like, look, it's Tuesday. Y'all know what this means. Make sure everybody's here. Make sure we got the prettiest sales clerk. I mean, from the receptionist to the finance manager. And do you actually finance a car? I guess you do, right? You know, if you get that kind of paycheck on a Tuesday, do you walk in and just say, I'm paying cash, or do you actually finance it? Some things that we'll never know.
Questions out of my tax bracket.
We'll never know. But that's how they work their week. So all the teams were back at, or they had their practice today. Most of the teams, except for the Cowboys and Eagles, will take their day off tomorrow. And then come Wednesday, they actually start implementing the game plan for the upcoming week. So all the guys who are in practice today, they have their day off tomorrow, and then we'll get ready because come Thursday, it's on like Donkey Kong. Eagles and Cowboys, NFL season kicks off. It's going to be here so quick and fast that we're going to love it. So we'll have Thursday night regular season. You can hear it right here at 929 The Game. We'll have Friday night game. We'll have that for you on our sister station, WLK. Chiefs and Chargers from Brazil. We all have it for you. Saturday, back to college football. And Sunday, Dirty Birds. Week one, game one, victory number one. Say it with me. Week one, game one, victory number one. That's what we need. That's what we'll have coming. All right. I got to get out of here. Coming up next, TCU in North Carolina. And the Braves are in the bottom of the ninth up in Chicago. Looks like, hopefully, we're headed to extras, because if not, the Cubs will win. Appreciate the time. Dom, appreciate you. I'm going home and get something to eat, and I'll watch, hopefully, Bill Belichick get his butt kicked. I'll be back again, and I think I'm back in 2 weeks. We're off next weekend because it's all – well, I'm not off, but I won't have a show because I'll be a part of the Falcons flyover. Until next time, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and make sure you download the Odyssey app, because we're all day, every day.